Now, Matthew chapter 6, and tonight I'll be speaking on the subject of prayer and the importance of it, especially in this election time. You know, our nation has never faced such a divided nation, at least, I guess if during the Civil War that was huge, but here it just seems that you've got righteousness against ungodliness, and they're just colliding. And Matthew chapter 6 here, verse 5, and I just like to read this text, and I understand that many of us, these verses are so familiar to us. And yet, the Lord wanted his disciples, those that follow him, to have this understanding. And sometimes in our Christian life, our Christian life is like a path, and if it isn't traveled often upon, it tends to grow over with weeds. And sometimes it's good to go down an old familiar path to keep the weeds down. And verse 5 says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly or verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Let's pray. Excuse me, let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of it and the internal truth of it, God. And Lord, forever, oh God, your word is settled in heaven. You are the eternal God that speaks with all authority and power in heaven and earth, because you are a creator, God. And Father, everyone shall give an account to thee one day. And Father, as we look into your word tonight, we are gifted to have your word held in our hands. So Lord, help us to understand the teaching of these verses here. And Father, may we apply it to our lives in a fresh and new way. And Lord, may each of us be anointed with fresh oil in your presence, God, that we might pray without ceasing. So Lord, bless us tonight as we look at this topic of prayer. And Lord, may I as a vessel honor your Son and your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in verse 5, when Jesus says, "And when thou prayest," what's the assumption there for disciples? They will what? They will pray. It's just a given assumption. Now, would you think it's strange that a fish would not know how to swim? Would that be strange? That would be really strange if a fish didn't know how to swim. Would it be strange that a Christian wouldn't want to pray? That would be strange. That'd be just as strange as a fish not knowing how to swim. And when thou prayest, and the assumption is here that we as true believers, we do want to pray. We do want to seek God's face. We do want to talk to him. I grew up in a church, and they had a book called The Book of Common Prayer. I remember a preacher saying one time, he goes, "You know, I don't need a book to talk to my wife." And, you know, if you really know God, you don't need a book to talk to him, because he's in your heart. You want to have communion and fellowship with him. When thou prayest, now, the thou is the true believers. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, the pretenders. Okay, he's teaching by contrast here, two different people. Thou, the true believers, the hypocrites, the ones that are be as the pretenders, the hypocrites are. Now, he's going to give a description of a pretender or a hypocrite. They love to pray. Wait a minute. They love to pray, but they're a pretender? Yeah, he goes on. They love to pray, but how do they love to pray? Standing in the synagogues. Now, when you're standing and everybody else is seating, you have their attention. You stand out. You got their attention. They love to pray standing in the synagogues where all the religious people gather. They love to pray and have everyone's attention focused on them. They also love to pray in the corners of the streets. Now, I thought about this for a moment. A corner. You know, if you're wanting to get people's attention, a corner is a good place to be. Because if you're just on the street, well, you only got that traffic. But if you're on the corner, you got two people coming at you. Well, they pick the place where they can get the most traffic. The corners of the streets. Now, what is their goal when they pray? That they may be seen of who? Of men. You know, it's all about them when they pray. It's all about them. They want to appear spiritual. They want to draw attention to themselves. They want people to give them adoration and to admire them for their spiritual pinnacles of prayer that they've reached. You know, Jesus just dismisses them so quickly. He says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." What is their reward? What's their reward? That's it. The praise of who?
Men.
A man. That's it. If you live for the praise of men, you know how much that's worth? is about worth as much as a wooden nickel. It's not worth very much if you live for the praise of men. And God has a word for people like that. He calls them hypocrites or pretenders. They love to pray. And Jesus is teaching us as God's people, when thou prayest, don't be like this. When you pray, don't try to show how spiritual you are. Just talk to your Heavenly Father. Now, verse 6, he turns a corner here. But thou, the focus is on his disciples, the true disciples. When you pray, okay, and then these are the pretenders, that's how they pray. But when you pray, this is what I want you to do. Go into your inner room. That's the closet here, so that inner room. Now, Dan, if you have an inner room in a house, how many windows would that have?
None.
And if there's no windows, guess how many people can see you? No. And especially because it goes on here, when you go into your inner room, you shut the door. So now there's just you in that room. But who else is in that room? The Lord. See, it's just an audience of one in God's presence. Now, I thought about this. Why do some believers drag their feet in prayer? They don't want to go into that room where it's just them and God. Why don't they want to get meet in that place where it's just them and God? Because sometimes if you're motivated just to have the people looking at you, that's your desire. Well, nobody's looking at you. You know, it's just you there. And if you don't have a heart for God, then who are you going to be spending time with in the room? But some people, and as believers, we want to make sure we keep a good conscience in all things. Because some people don't pray because they're guilty on the inside. And if they come in the presence of God, and how do we live as believers? We live in the presence of what? A holy God all the time. That's how we live. We live in his presence all the time. Is God in the inner closet? He sure is. Is God in this building here with us tonight? He is. He hears every word we're saying. Does he know every thought that I think, you think? He knows everything. He is with us. But when thou prayest, enter into your inner room, your closet, when thou hast shut the door, just you and God, pray to thy Father. Now, Father means relationship. Why don't some people pray? Because they don't have a relationship with God. They know about God, but they don't know God. Pray to thy Father. That speaks of sonship, daughtership, relationship with him. You want to spend time with him. Now, what does Jesus tell us about God? Pray to thy Father, which is what? In secret. He sees your secret prayer life, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Now, you've been in this little room, in a room with a door closed, nobody there, just you and God. What does God say at the end of verse 6 as a promise? You pray, you seek God's face, you entreat his favor in your needs in your life. Seeth in secret shall reward thee what? Openly. See, when we get alone with God, the blessings of God come on the outside. They're all over us because God's blessings follow us. And sometimes if God's blessing isn't follow us, it's because we're not in that inner room with God alone and just saying, God, here I am this morning. Which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. And sometimes we fret because we feel like we're not getting this reward. Well, are we in the inner room? Are we praying to God in secret? Laying our hearts open before him. Verse 7. But when ye pray, again, the assumption, we shall pray as God's people, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. Now, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. How many times did he pray? Three times. That's not vain repetition. When Jesus was in the garden, how many times did he ask the Father to take this cup from him? Three times. See, that's not vain repetition, to pray something over and over again. George Mueller had some friends that he wanted saved. He prayed for them his whole life. And they got saved. One of them actually, his very last one got saved at his funeral. He prayed for them his whole life, these men get saved. Now, that's not vain repetition. What is vain repetition? When you just, I can think of no other great example than the rosary that the Catholics do. You ever heard somebody go through the rosary? It's just like, they just got this chant going, just goes on. Fred, did you ever pray through the rosary?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we got an experienced man here. Is that vain repetition? When you pray, these people think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8, be not like therefore unto them, your Father, again, sonship, daughtership, our Heavenly Father, knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, verse 8, if God knows before what I need, why should I even pray? You see what verse 8 here is implying? Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Why pray if He knows? Oh, He answers that question. Look at verse 9 and following. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at the Lord's Prayer against verse 8 here and thought, our Father. That word "our" there means God is your God, but He's also a lot of other people's God too. He's got the saints of God all over the world. And God is a Father that has many sons and daughters. It's not all about me and my needs and my wants and my feelings and my whatevers. It's a church. It's a body of believers that we all interact together. Our Father, what does prayer do for you? It makes you focus on God above, your sonship, your daughtership. When you pray, you come before your Heavenly Father. You recognize that He's in heaven and you're here on earth. Because He's in heaven, He created heaven and earth. How do you approach God when you pray? Hallowed be thy name. That's how you approach God. When you pray, you remember He's a holy God. When you pray, thy kingdom come. You're thinking about God. It's not about my program. Your kingdom's going to rule and reign on this earth. When you pray, you're praying that His will be done, not your will. See, when you pray, it's not like I'm got this big grocery list that I want God to do this and this and this and this. Now, you pray for somebody to get saved. Is that God's will? God's not willing that what? Any should perish. I know that's God's will. I can pray that, to pray for people's. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When I pray, it helps me to focus on God's plan and program. When I pray, give us this day our daily bread, what does that focus on me on? Where do I get everything from? From God. I should be thankful that this day God's going to provide for me. When I pray, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. When I pray, all of a sudden I'm thinking about my horizontal relationships. Am I right with this person? Am I right with that person? Do I have some bitterness toward that person? It helps me, it brings my relationships. When I pray, lead me not into temptation. You know, any true believer, they don't want to sin. If you really love God, you don't want to fall into sin. And your conscience of Satan's traps out there, God, prevent me from my sinful nature taking me down a road that I shouldn't go down. Lead me not into temptation. When you pray, you deal with that whole arena there of our sinful nature. Deliver us from the evil one, from evil. When you pray, it focuses you on Satan and his activities. So why does God want us to pray? Look at the Lord's Prayer. All these different issues when you pray come to the surface. And at the end of that, he says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's all about God. It's not about us. So when we pray, there's lots of reasons why we pray. And our nation is standing in the need of prayer for God's people to raise up and call sin, sin, and call God's favor and blessing and repentance to our land. So in these verses here, just an encouragement tonight for us to remember to pray without ceasing. Help me with this verse. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's a good verse. Let's pray here. Dear Lord, as we go to prayer tonight, encourage us to pray, God. Lord, prayer is a hard thing to do sometimes, but it's the best thing. And Lord, help us to pray without ceasing, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a spirit of prayer here at TBC Bible Church, Lord. I pray that we would seek your face by prayer in that inner room. And Lord, may we be men and women of prayer. And you hear our prayers here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.